B-Pod Studios.
The Sports Hub.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hi, guys. Felger and Mads here from Banners. What's your thought there, Mads?
Okay, so in a best-case scenario, if you want your on-field moment, I mean, to me, it's pretty clear how that would happen, which is Baltimore gets picked off. The AFC Championship game is in Foxborough, and Brady orchestrates some sort of victory, whether it be, you know, I don't want to get too schmaltzy with it again and say, you know, a final drive with 31 seconds to go. Like, I'm not going to give you that. But Brady leads him to a victory in the AFC title game in Foxborough, and off they go to the Super Bowl, and there you go. Tom gets his moment. So, but there's a, you know, I think it's unlikely that we get that, independent of whether they win this weekend. I just think that typically at the end, it goes bad. That's why it ends.
I just, you know,
People's disposition at the end gets sour because they can't do what they used to do.
His final year has not been spent. If this is his final year, I think it is. It has not been spent reflecting on what an unbelievable run it's been. It's been, where's he going to go? What's he going to do? How come he's so pissed off? Why did he say that? Why did he do that? Like, that's been his final year. Instead of embracing and reveling in an unbelievable career. And I think that's a little unfortunate.
Yeah, but it's been like that with all the greats.
I understand. I understand.
No one looks back as it's happening. As it's happening, you're looking at it and saying, ooh, this is ugly. I know I did it with Peyton Manning, as did the rest of the world. And I was expecting him to end up costing them in the playoffs. He didn't. He still had a few more throws left in him, specifically in that AFC Championship game to Owen Daniels. And they ended up winning the title. And I don't know, if it is going to be this ugly, like, as much as I would like to see him in another uniform to, I don't know, to maybe spite Bill and show he's got one last year in him, if it is going to look like this and the elbow was a real issue, like, I would hope he does retire. Has been bad.
Well, but the other thing is, why would we reflect? He hasn't said this is the end.
I know.
So, like, you know, so you sort of can't have both. Like, he can't. You can't say, well, I don't want all the fanfare and the tour and the whole thing. And, you know, because then you're telling everybody it's your final year.
I wouldn't want it to. It'd be so selfish. While they're trying to, you know, win another title here, for him to now say, oh, by the way, this is my last year. That would be such a moment that it would take away from what they're doing.
I mean, look, when Jeter came here at the end, we knew it was the end. So Jeter had a moment in Boston. He had one in New York.
Did he wait to the very end of that year to tell people, though? Did we know the whole year, or wasn't it at the end?
I'm trying to remember. No, I think everyone pretty much knew.
The whole year?
Yeah. Yeah, if I remember right. I don't remember. I think he said he didn't want, like, gifts in the whole nine yards. I'd have to go back and look.
People knew. I remember the reactions being like,
people knew at the end.
Oh,
sure.
When he made his final at Bad Fenway, it was a great moment.
But it wasn't as ridiculous as Ortiz's.
Oh my God, Ortiz's, please, that thing was ridiculous.
Painful.
Again, the paddleboard in Anaheim, for crying out loud. As if Ortiz has ever gone paddleboarding in his life. He's sitting on a boat sipping daiquiris.
All right, back to your call.
Jeter did, by the way, announce that 2014 would be his last season in spring training.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Thank you, Jimmy, yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So, yeah, Brady didn't want that. Or he's not done. And there's a reason that he didn't. You know, the reason is not because he didn't want that spotlight. It's because he's not done. He just might be done here. Bob and Easton, our buddy. How you doing, Bobby?
Listen, guys, Merry Christmas to you.
So, you too, Bob.
There are a lot of factors here that we're not considering. First of all the guys that you mentioned, Marino, Montana, I don't think any of them were on a team when they left the team or on a number one or two seed. That's first. Secondly, and my point is, he's not retiring and he's not going to another team. So this whole notion when Brady asked for the no franchise tag, that actually doesn't have leverage anymore because he didn't have a great year. So now I believe that Brady, in a way, is relying on the Patriots to take him back. So here's what I think. I think if he was really done, I don't think he'd be sour. I don't think he'd be snapping. Guys, would you guys, and Maz, you said it earlier, and I agree with you. If you had your line, if you had your receivers, Brady would not be this bad, okay? So is it possible that next year, if he comes back, now there's a chance that Kraft might step in if Brady is willing to take less to play for one more year, and that's his last year. Because Felger, I agree with you in some degree here, that he does want to have that night where he passes in touchdowns and he has the night. I think he's going to be here one more year. I think it's next year, because this year is an anomaly. And it's a weird anomaly, because right now they're in position at the number two seed. Why would you go to another team when you know this is the best situation? Why would you go when you can end it here, even if it's just one more year?
Okay, because you get treated with more respect. You maybe live in a place you want to live. I don't know, and this is from Brady's perspective. He doesn't think that the team's invested in him the last couple of years. So what if he goes somewhere where the organization is fully invested in him? And that's why he would go. That's why he would go. And he doesn't feel that he's that important to these guys anymore. So that's it in a nutshell why he would go. I don't want another repeat of this year. The last couple. You know, even though you won the Super Bowl last year. I mean, I would take that. But I'm talking about, it hasn't been a very joyful experience. And he hasn't had fun playing. It hasn't been that fun watching him.
No, it's been a grind.
You know, again, I keep going back to it. He doesn't show up in the offseason. He doesn't work with the young guys. He doesn't like the people he works with. He doesn't trust the people he works with. You know, it's too hard to integrate new people. It's like, it's not a fully functional situation.
No, he's disconnected is what he's done, little by little. He's disconnected emotionally. You know, and when I say emotionally, you know, the investment into the operation.
He's pissed off with what he's getting paid. It's been that way the last couple of years. It's like he's not really happy with where he's at. And if I'm the team, I look at him and go, we're not all that happy with you. I mean, it's like, you know, we draft guys, bring in new receivers, and it takes an act of Congress to get you to work with these guys or throw to these guys. That's not fully functional. We want to be able to draft and bring in new receivers and have our quarterback work with them in the offseason or be there during the season. He's, as Bill's happy to tell us, he takes all these days off, you know, during practice, so he's not getting the reps with the players. Like, it's not fully functional. If he came back, it would have to be sort of like a recommitted situation.
So I think Bob, to me, said a couple of things that I think are contradictory. And look, he's a hardcore, longtime Patriots fan. So I don't blame him for wanting to believe that elements will line up to bring Brady back. Okay, but on the one hand, he says, well, Brady's lost leverage with that whole franchise tag because he hasn't had a good year. And then on the other, he'll say, but if you put good receivers, good players around him, Brady's still fine. Well, if we know that, you don't think people around the league know that? I mean, in other words, you're telling me Miami wouldn't?
Oh, there's going to be a market for him.
Of course there will be, yes.
Forget the year he had.
So the question then becomes, does Brady want to play for someone else? That's what it becomes. Because I don't think the Patriots are going to change their stance. I think it is what it is. That they've reached a stage where they say, Tom, Jimmy G or no Jimmy G, and we're going year to year with you because you're 42.
But, Maz, this is why I'm ready to turn the page, and I think you're exactly right. So they say, we're not going to pay you at the top of the market. We're not going to commit to you multiple years. And then Brady says, well, if you're not going to commit to me, why do I show up in the offseason? Why do I put in the extra work? If you don't believe in me, I'm not going to believe in you. So I'm going to show up when I want to show up. And it's the same sort of cycle of what we're in right now, which is not fully functional.
They've been diverging for a couple of years here. Again, it's not like this, but little by little, they've been diverging. They're growing apart. And so now the one thing that you raise about Brady and playing for another team, which to me is sort of, I find this to be a human condition. Some people can say 6 months ahead of time, if this happens, I'm going to do this. And they follow through. A lot of people can say that. And then when they're in the spot, they can't. Right? It's like something about being able to actually pull the trigger at that moment. They can't do it.
Brady won't pull the trigger to leave the team is
okay,
what I think.
So,
he's retiring.
I mean, I always sort of, you know, when I go back to baseball analogies naturally, but Billy Beane, yep, I want a big market. Yep. The Red Sox offer him the world, and you know what? I'm going to stay in Oakland.
Yeah.
Okay, he couldn't pull the trigger. So in the case of Brady, like you said earlier, he caves. He doesn't have the balls. And, you know, we treat it as a negative. In a lot of ways, it's made him who he is. And it's made the Patriots who they are. His willingness to play ball has led this thing on for 20 years, and that counts for something.
We've got Mike in Warwick. He's up next with Felger and Maz here from Banners. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Just a quick question and comment. Do you think there's a team out there that would be willing to sign him for 3 years? I mean, there's got to be a team that would.
Yes.
And the other thing is he's probably more determined. You see him at the podium, guys. He is pissed. He's got to be more determined to play till he's 45 now and adamant. I mean, you see it on his face. I just don't see him going out like that. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Do you see a guy who's adamant or do you see a guy who's resigned? Because I think you can see resignation.
Yeah, I think it's resignation. I think it's a guy who might be pissed at his body, you know, betraying him right now. And I think it's injury. I don't think it's so much age, but maybe age plays in because he's not recovering as well as he had in the past. The elbow thing, I think, is a real issue. I think that's, you know, adding to his negative attitude right now.
I think if there's a team out there who's not willing to go three, I mean, if the any combination of the Chargers, the Dolphins, the Raiders, you know, because there's a business component to this too, right? You know, it's a.
That's why I go to the Chargers. They're going to have that new stadium. They need buzz, asses in seats.
Bingo. If a team doesn't offer him 3 years, I think I'll look at the and say, how stupid are you guys? Because he's got more football. I mean, if he's committed and he is willing to do it, then he should have a market.
I mean, how about, I don't know, 3 for $100 with 55, 60 guaranteed? Does that do it? You want it all guaranteed?
I'd go 3 at $100 fully guaranteed. I would.
So I don't know if he'll get 3 years fully guaranteed at 42 with an elbow, you know.
Yes. Okay, so
I'm trying to think logically.
3 years, $100 million, 66 guaranteed. Okay. The first two guaranteed.
Someone will give him that.
Someone should give him that.
Someone will give him that. The question then becomes, will he do it? And I don't know.
Okay, so if you just join us, that's sort of the topic of today's show, staring down the barrel of Brady's final chapter in New England. I don't know if it's fully sunk in. It's sinking in with me. It's my last show of the year, so I'm taking the opportunity to do it because when I come back, we'll be looking at Wild Card Weekend. If the Patriots are playing on Wild Card Weekend, that's it.
Last show of the year, huh?
It's over for me, yeah.
December 19th, that's pretty liberal of you.
Much. Compiled all my days. I squirreled them away in my cheeks.
Not me. I used them all in the summer.
I noticed. All right, so we continue with your thoughts on all of this right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is your home of the Bruins. It's game day, and Felger and Maz are broadcasting from Banner's Kitchen and Tap at The Garden on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
As promised, right back to your phones. I'm going to have a giveaway for you this segment as well to help dull the pain, numb the pain. It's something for free by the end of this segment, so don't leave your radio if you want something for free. I know you do. Michael in Hartford, what do you got?
Hey, guys, when I go to Gillette in a few years, am I going to be walking past a Brady statue like Jordan or Bobby Orr or Gag, the Philly special?
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah, without question.
Absolutely. Something like that. I mean, and I'm sorry to cut him off.
Why wouldn't they have something like that?
Like, I mean, not to get too schmaltzy on you, but...
I'd put it in City Hall Plaza, for crying out loud. I think he's meant that much to the area. Like, not just the citizens about the stadium or the team. But Brady is, you know, he's not a Boston guy. But again, Red Auerbach's at Faneuil Hall, right? There's one of him there. I mean, to me, he's that kind of figure. Belichick, too. Like, those guys are bigger than just the arena they played at. They're way bigger than that.
We're going to name stuff after him?
Sure.
Ted Williams Tunnel?
Yeah, I'm against that as a practice.
I know.
Yeah, that's a little
like,
cheesy.
But they will. They will. I mean, if they named a street after David Ortiz, they'll name something after Tom Brady.
Is it cheesy?
The road naming thing. I'd rather a statue. I don't care about the road naming thing.
Statue thing I kind of like, though.
A tunnel, a bridge, etc. Ted Williams Tunnel? No?
Nah.
I told you, I don't like naming things after people.
Because then they disappoint you.
Yeah, they always do. Inevitably, there's something that comes out that you say, well, you know, let's change it now. Well, Yawkey way. So that's not a Brady thing. That's sort of a philosophical thing. But to me, Tom Brady, like, you're going to, absolutely. City Hall Plaza, Faneuil Hall, somewhere in the heart of the city.
I think the league has to name something after him. You know, you turn the MVP trophy of the Super Bowl into the Brady trophy. Something like that.
Definitely.
If Belichick wasn't such a cheating cretin, he'd get something named after him.
He might anyway. He might anyway, too.
I say that half joking. I mean, that's what he's going to run up against is that, you know, he's the greatest coach ever with the most, you know, if they call it the Lombardi Trophy and he's won more than Lombardi, then you got to name something after Belichick, but he's going to have that, his history sort of bumping into the way there.
I think he's still going to get it, though. I do. I just think, you know, again, those two, We tend to focus on them in the Boston perspective. They are, you know, they are NFL titans. Maybe the biggest of the bunch.
Yes.
Like in the hierarchy of the Greek gods. Belichick is Zeus, for crying out loud.
Now we're really whipping it out.
Let's go. It's the holidays. Let's just flip it right out there. But he is. That's what he is. There's nobody like him. There's nobody like Brady.
Yeah, he's Zeus. Yeah.
He can throw down lightning bolts.
Yeah, he's Hercules.
Here's Mike in Nashua. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, so a couple things. On the send-off, I don't know if you guys saw Eli Manning got his last Sunday, and that's how you want to do it. It was low-key. You know, he still throws three picks, but he has a good second half. They pull him when they're way up, and he got a nice ovation from the fans. That was it. Very nice. Secondly, it sounds like you guys are writing off this year.
No, I'm not.
I think the Pats can still pull it together. You're not.
No, Mike, I'm not. I'm not writing him off. I still think we have a good chance to be in Miami.
Maz is on the fence, and I'm writing him off.
Okay, so that's where we are. I'm doing this in case when I get back that we're in wild card weekend, and that's about it. Because I do think if they lose on Saturday, that's it. So if they lose Saturday, I will write them off. I'm not here to do a Monday show. So I'm sort of doing a
preemptive strike.
I'm covering myself. I just think as we head into these games, we're looking at the final chapter and his last two home games in the regular season anyway, and who knows what's going to happen in the playoffs, where they're going to end up in the playoffs. I don't think they're losing Saturday. I don't. But I still think it's what we're looking at, the last 2 months of Brady's run here. This is it.
So stretch. So for those watching on television, I think this is appropriate. You're on my right, Murray's on my left, and I'm right in the middle. And that's where I am. So look, I told you, I think this game this weekend, in the short term, I find this game in Week 16 to be as fascinating a Week 16 home game as the Patriots have played in a long, long time. I think this thing, like the potential spin here, one way or the other, is huge. If they win the game, and look good doing it, and N'Keal Harry builds on last week and has a better game this week, and they score against the Bills, I'm just saying hypothetically. Then all of a sudden I look at them and go, hold on now. Let's not pull the plug just yet. Maybe there are a few breaths left in the lungs. Like, I'm willing to wait that one out. But if it goes the other way.
No, I understand.
Then we're all writing it off.
We're getting the players to wedge that fence out of your ass at some point.
I like the fence in my ass.
So I've got a bet for anyone who wants it. Murray, most prominently. Next year, as long as Bill Belichick is your coach, next year with Jared Stidham at quarterback or whoever Bill chooses, at least 11 wins and you're going to win the division. So I want that fully on record. Guy in Boston has a bet for me. What is it, Guy?
I want to take you up on your bet. You're betting on a coach that 5 seasons with Cleveland went 36-44. I think that's 8 games under 500. Brady won 245 of 303 wins that Belichick has. I want your money, Felger. I want your cash.
Okay, Guy. Well, you're welcome, man. We'll come up with something. We'll come up with something. Bill's better than he was in Cleveland. So this is like people always do this. Like, well, in Cleveland, what do you...
So long ago.
It's 25 years ago, man. 25, 30 years ago. He got the job in 91, I think.
He was Murray's age.
I mean, so what? You don't think he's gotten better? I mean, you don't think he's improved from when he was in Cleveland? So, like, let's cut that out. To me, a much more fair gauge is what he did when Garoppolo and Brissett were the quarterback or Castle were the quarterback. That's the guy I'm looking at.
Yeah, Felger, why you got to be so negative? Belichick was born great.
he's not the guy he was in Cleveland. In some respects, he is, but he's also improved, as most guys tend to. Maddox in Williamstown has something for us on the Patriots. Go ahead, Maddox.
Maddox.
Yeah.
Hey, I just want to touch base on you with one thing. So, Tyler Eifert for the Bengals, the tight end, he's going to be a free agent this year. What do you think the chances of the Patriots are of grabbing him and maybe having him be a new duo with Brady or Stidham?
Okay.
I'm in.
Sure. I mean, he's got injury issues. There's other tight ends I'd rather them peek around at if we're talking veterans. Eric Ebron, for one.
I don't know. I mean, it wouldn't be bad to draft a guy.
No, I'll take a flyer on Eifert, and again, he'll be Bill's kind of signing. He'll be cheap because of the injury history. It'll be a pay-for-play contract. It's a perfect fit, and we all know that he loves ex-Bengals and Bills. So you can't get enough bums from those two teams to bring in, and not that they've all been bums, but Burkhead, Gilmore, like, I like Eifert. I think they should have gotten him this year.
Tommy in the car. Hi, you're up. Thomas? Okay, babe, you can call us back. You obviously know the number. Steve in Portland joins us next. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing? So what doom and gloom host you going to stick us with for the next 2 weeks? Ebenezer Murray?
Hopefully it's Jones.
There you go. Hey, I was thinking, you know, being a fan, I'd love to see him come back to New England, but if not, that'd be great to have two games against Miami.
Oh.
They have almost $100 million cap space and pretty much a foregone conclusion he could grab Gronk and probably that boob AB back, so...
Oh, I think as a what a fascinating story that would be. I hope I'm wrong. I hope Brady keeps playing, and I hope he goes somewhere else, and I hope he goes in the division. And I think that would just be so fabulous. And for those of us, we're getting so old, and we've been at this so long. I you know, there's people in our audience who don't remember this, but if you were around for the Tuna Bowls for Parcells versus the Patriots,
they were awesome.
Oh, they were awesome in the late '90s. It was just fabulous, you know. And you had this. Boob, Pete Carroll, and Parcells goes and takes over the Jets, the, you know, debacle Jets, and within a year and a half, the Jets are better, and, you know, even that very first game he came in here, remember you won because I think you blocked a field goal at the last,
it was an overtime game, yeah.
It's overtime, the only way you beat him, and you had a much better team, like, you had that 90s Patriots team was a good team that Parcells left you with, tons of talent, and you had to go to overtime and block a field goal, I think, to beat him in that first Tuna Bowl at Foxborough. Those games were so fun. The crap that you would sling back and forth all week. They were fabulous.
Oh, God, it was awesome.
This would be that on steroids. Brady versus Bill.
Times 100. Could you imagine him in that turquoise uniform?
Oh, the throwbacks are awesome. I'd
so, Brady would like, so good.
Brady'd be into the pastels,
so,
too.
I would love it so much. Remember, so I mentioned Favre before. He wanted to keep playing just to shove it up Ted Thompson's ass. All he wanted to do was so that he stuck out a year with the Jets just so he could get his way to Minnesota. And the whole reason the Packers sent him to the Jets is because they didn't want him to go to Minnesota. So Favre spent a year in purgatory just to get to the Vikings so he could play the Packers twice a year and shove it up their keister, which he did, do. And, oh, God, I hope Brady feels the same way. I don't think he does. But I hope I'm wrong. I hope he feels the same way. I hope he wants to stay in the division. I hope he wants two of those games a year. I hope he wants to shove it up Belichick's keys. You know, that would be so good.
I mean, from a media story, it's hard to get much better than that.
Forget media. This is why I don't know. Like, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, but you understand there's a segment of Patriots fans and Boston fans that don't ever want to see Tom Brady play for any other team,
yes,
let alone the Dolphins.
I get it.
So that's all I'm saying. I mean, I love the story aspect of it. Don't get me wrong. Brady coming in here as a villain.
But would he be?
No.
Half the stadium would be rooting for him. Yeah. Bill would be the villain to half the people. That's why this is perfect. It's like, oh, God, please. I pray to the tape lords. I'll get on my knees every night. Pray to the tape lord to give me that.
Oh, my God. I can already hear the argument on the radio now. Like people booing Stidham. I'd be pissed.
Ah, I mean, the shows write themselves. It's just, I'll do the show without it even happening. It's so good. I promised you the giveaway.
I think it would be disrespectful to boo Jarrett Stidham. Let me just get that on the record now.
Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985. We'll score a $100 99 restaurant gift card. 99 gift cards are great for last-minute shoppers. For every $25 you purchase, receive a $5 bonus card for yourself. The 99, always the real deal. I had mapped out a Celtics minute or two. Do you feel like doing it, or do you want to just plow ahead with this?
No, I'm all Brady all the time, but you do what you want.
No.
I say we keep plowing.
Okay. Bend over, Boston. We continue the plowing right after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Day. Felger and Maz are live at Banner's Kitchen and Tap at the Garden on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Felger and Maz back here at Banner's talking, well, Patriots-Bills, talking about Brady in the final chapter and hit the home stretcher, and your thoughts about this final chapter. Murray, as a Brady Bobo fan,
yeah,
how do you feel about his final chapter here?
It sucks. It sucks, but I also expected it to kind of suck, because when any of the greats go out, it's usually pretty ugly, and this has been pretty ugly. I didn't think it was going to be this bad, but I don't know. Injuries crept in here, so.
I mean, the guy ranks 29th in the league in completion percentage. I know Maz is
that's brutal.
Hit on these numbers, you know. What I was going to do is say, you know, who he ranks behind in completion percentage, you know, just to make it sound bad. Like, he ranks below Joe Flacco. He ranks below Ryan Tannehill. He ranks below everybody.
Yeah, pretty much, except Baker Mayfield, I think.
It's unbelievable.
Baker Mayfield blows this year.
He ranks 29th in completion percentage, 20th in quarterback rating. He's 12th in touchdown passes. If the season ended right now, this would be a career low in completion percentage, 60.1. It'd be tied for his third worst quarterback rating, 86.5. He's at 21 touchdown passes. He hasn't thrown fewer than 25 touchdown passes since 2006. He's never his lowest was 2001. He threw 18 touchdown passes. He's at 21. This is the second lowest output of his career at this point. I mean,
and again, I would argue that weighted to the era, this is lower. People throw the ball way more now than they did then. And that wasn't that long ago. It was 16 years ago, but still, even then.
It wasn't that long ago that he had 112 quarterback rating.
Yeah, it's 2 years removed from league MVP.
2 years ago, he won the MVP. In 2017, he had a 102.8 quarterback rating. He threw 32 touchdowns, had a completion percentage of 66%. The year before, it was 67.4. Now we are 3-4 years later, and he's at the bottom of the league.
Okay, so the completion percentage thing, Belichick was actually asked about this in his presser today.
Yeah.
Did you see this?
I did not.
Oh, so Jimmy, I'm putting Jimmy Stewart on the spot here a little bit, because I sent an email, and I don't know if Jimmy has the actual audio.
I haven't. I'm all good to play it, Tony.
Okay, so I found the Belichick response on this, you know, interesting from a Belichick standpoint. Jimmy, go ahead and play it.
Bill, Tom Brady's completion percentage is down at 60.1, which is the lowest it's been for his career. He's a guy that, you know, we talked about how accurate he's been. So I guess sort of surprising number. What's gone into that this year?
Yeah, I think right now, you know, we're really focused on the Buffalo game and, you know, trying to get ready and, you know, play our best in this game. So, you know, going back and analyzing stuff from other games and a year and all that, it's really not where we're at.
Jimmy, we can stop there. I know there was a follow-up, but let's stop there.
I found
the answer interesting for this. When I read the question, I read the transcript, I didn't hear it. The answer I was expecting was, well, look, everything's a team play. It's football. Yeah. It's a team game.
Right.
Right? Because that's what I believe this year, that I look at Brady's completion percentage and I say, well, that's not all on Brady. There's a lot of throwaways in there. There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of miscommunication with receivers. Like, I haven't watched Brady until the Cincinnati game and said, he just doesn't hit the spot anymore. He's not even close. He looks like Josh Allen out there. And yet Belichick didn't say that. And I'm not saying that he's throwing Brady under the bus or anything of the like.
No, but he easily could have, you're right, Matt. He easily could have said, well, that's a team stat.
He always says team. You talk about defense, it's team this, it's team that. You know, we throw to the open receiver. It's never about any individual. And in this case, he just said, well, I'm focused on Buffalo. You know, didn't even want to, like, touch it. And I think part of it is, Bill holds Brady at least partly responsible. And he thinks Brady hasn't had a great year.
So this is all part of the final chapter. And it's very subtle. And, you have to read into it. And, you know, maybe we're making some of it up, meaning it's not real. We're just reading into it. But this is what I think of his final season. These little subtle back and forths, the tug and pull between Brady and Belichick. And, You know, I mean, there's a million examples.
Belichick this week talking about, you know, him not practicing at times.
And Bill, right. And Brady complaining in the previous weeks about relisting all of my injuries. And, like, that little subtle back and forth, the Guerrero back and forth, like, all these little things. That's what I think is sort of, I think, I don't know, made up of his final year, which is too bad in some respects.
I mean, anybody who's watched the Patriots game in and game out, and I know nationally most people don't, okay? They just see the highlights and the numbers and everything else, just like we do with out-of-market teams, okay? But anybody who's watched the Brady and the Patriots play all year, would you put that 60.1% all on Brady's shoulders?
No.
No way! Not in a million years. No way. And that's just, it's not a realistic or accurate assessment of what's been going on the field. It's just not. Because there have been so many variables, as there always are, often are, that it'd be totally unfair and impossible to categorize it that way. And yet, I found it interesting that Bill didn't object there. Right? Bill had the opportunity to say, well, wait a minute now. Let's not go put it all on Tom. You know, the passing offense is exactly that, a passing offense. There are a million elements to it, ranging from pass protection to run game to receivers running routes, experience in the receiving core. If we can't run the ball, teams are going to tee off and get better pressure. There's a million things. He didn't say any of that. And so, you know, for a guy who's all offering up injury information 2 days ago, now we won't answer that with what is the right answer? And again, I admit, I'm reading into it. But I think that when he goes home at night and he's driving home or whatever and Bill's reviewing the game in his head, he sits there and says, Tom's not the same. He's not. And you cited the numbers earlier that 2013 was the last time he had numbers like this. That offseason, he drafted Garoppolo. So I think Bill in his head puts some of it on Tom. I don't think he looks at Brady and says, well, he's exempt. It's not his fault. I think he put some of it on Brady.
Let's pick this up on the other side in our long commercial-free segment. Join us.
Sports, Austin's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
From Banner's Kitchen and Tap at the Garden, it's Bruins Game Day with Felger and Mass on your home of the Bruins, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Is there maybe an emphasis to try and bring that number up, or is it what it is this year? Or?
No, we call passes to complete them. We call runs to gain yardage. We call defenses to stop our opponents. We call returns to gain yardage on a return. I mean, so that's why we call those plays. So we want to all make this all of them as good as we can, be as productive as we can. Try to make every play productive.
So there's a follow-up to that question, Baz.
So again, he says there, you know, the question was, is there an effort to bring up that number? The obvious answer to that is yes. Now, again, effort is, I understand Bill doesn't want to give anything away ever. But like he says, well, the goal is to complete the pass always. And I sort of say there's an opportunity there for him to sort of say, don't put this on the quarterback.
Exactly.
Because the whole sequence started with Tom's completion percentage is the lowest of his career. And I'm focused on Buffalo. Like he wouldn't skate in and say, no, look, this is a team thing.
Throw him a bone.
Right. And so I don't know. I just saw that today, and again, maybe he's trying to goose Brady this week. They are at a pivotal. They were at a pivotal game. They were at a pivotal point in the season. The number two seed for them this year, as much as any other year, or the bye is what I should say. A bye would make all the difference in the world. Like if they could ever, just think of the consequences. If they were ever able to wrap it up this week, they get the win. Kansas City loses. Now they're locked in at number two.
Double bye. Give everybody time off. Get riled.
Huge.
Yes, of course.
Huge. 17 off. the bye off. Now it's basically 3 weeks between games.
Who's Kansas City have? Did you just say it?
I think they play the Bears.
Yeah, Chicago this week.
Is it in Chicago? I think it is.
I think it is, yeah.
Okay, that's a losable game.
Yeah, totally is. Yeah, now look, I like the Chiefs. The Bears are getting 4.5. I think the Vegas line's plus 4.5 for Chicago. But, you know, that's no slam dunk going on the road. Chicago, tough defense, cold weather that time of year. You know, a team that's a little bit more of a finesse team. I could see that going the other way. That would be a huge development for them.
Anyway, we're talking Brady's swan song here in New England. You believe it is a swan song? I do. And if it is, how do you feel it's going? Louis in Amesbury. Go ahead, Louis.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Here we go, you guys. Same old stick. First of all, I hope you get some tissue after the Brady-Miami thing in between segments there. But, I would say Tom Brady today, behind an offensive line, why are we talking about Tom Brady instead of Newhouse is a bum? How about we talk about Wynn, who's like a turnstile out there? He has had a Swiss cheese offensive line all year, guys. I mean, what are we talking about Tom Brady for? Did you see the pass to Harry where he stood up in the pocket, he stepped up, and he threw an absolute gut to Harry? He still got it. He still can make the plays. What are we talking about Tom Brady for? You are making it up. It's your stick. It's what you normally do. There's so many other things we should be talking about. The Patriots are going to be the number two seeded team in the NFL, and we're talking about Tom Brady going down the tubes and him going to Miami? I mean, what have you done for me lately? 7 Super Bowls, 20 years, and we want to talk about his throwing completion percentage. I get it. But look at the offensive line he's dealt with. Dante Scarnecchia hasn't been Dante Scarnecchia this year, boys.
Okay, Lloyd. Good call.
Yeah, surrounded cast sucks.
Yeah, you know, I'm just reading you where he ranks. I'm not assessing blame.
I'm doing the opposite. I'm exempting him from blame.
Of course, Maz told you that he's not the 29th rated quarterback. It's about the things around him. Fine. Like, that's not... You're sort of missing the point. I'm sort of painting a picture, you know, that this is how he's going out here in New England, ranking this way. You know, being a bottom-tier quarterback statistically is his last year in New England. That sort of sucks.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think the numbers look worse, a lot worse than it is.
Definitely.
I don't think he's playing as bad as his numbers.
I don't think he's playing great, by the way.
No, he's not. I mean,
but he's not. He's as you said, if he had, you know... If he had more around him, he wouldn't be ranking 29th in the league in completion percentage.
No way. Now, look, but since Louis brought it up, the throw to N'Keal Harry in the back of the end zone for the touchdown, which was a freaking laser. Okay, it was a dart. We're making too much of that throw, too. I liked it, too. To me, the bigger thing was that Harry held on to the ball. And, he adjusted in the middle of the play. Harry did. He went down. He caught it, and he held it. Like, big development there. Against Dallas, he couldn't catch a cold. So, but... Great, so Brady threw one great pass. Do you ever see Josh Allen throw a single great pass?
Sure.
All the time.
Yeah, it happens.
They all do. Can you do it over and over again? That's what separates the great one from... So let's not make too much of the one Brady throw. He hasn't, he hasn't had a great year, but he hasn't been god-awful.
But his other point, we should be talking about the number two seed in the offensive line versus Tom Brady's end in New England? Sorry. I'm more interested in the second thing. You want to talk about the offensive line? Big Boy comes in on Tuesday, and he'll talk your face off about Joe Tooney and Marcus Cannon, and you'll get all of it. His negative run stuffs, you can do that on Tuesday with Greg Bedard. This is the greatest pro athlete of our lifetime, here or anywhere else. And this is the home stretch for him with New England, I think. So, to me, there's nothing more important than that. That's, to me, a more compelling story. Patrick in the car. Go ahead, Patrick.
Hi. Guys, you're missing the whole total thing here. Buffalo is the best bet for Brady. Great defense, need a quarterback. He'd come back here and kick our asses twice.
He ain't going to Buffalo, Patrick.
Hey, neither is the wife.
Right. He ain't going. Like, so that, to me, the city matters. It's got to make sense for him. Chicago isn't even right for him.
Right.
Like, it's got to be. Well, let me put it another way.
Brady in Buffalo?
It's got to make sense for TB12, doesn't it? Like, isn't that a component?
Yeah.
That it's got to be some sort of tie-in.
So unless TB12 starts selling fries and
chicken wings,
he's not going to Buffalo.
Seriously.
Unless the goal is to die of a heart attack at 42 because of all the fat that you eat,
yeah,
then he's not going to go to Buffalo.
Right, belly flopping on a folding table. Seriously, no shot. The Bills are dangerous enough right now if you're the Patriots.
Tom in Montana. Go ahead, Tom.
Three quick thoughts, please. Thank you for your Christmas in the City stuff. It encouraged me to give more.
Thank you, Tom.
In some activities, backroom gambling, bare knuckles boxing, it's not manly to quit when you're ahead, so it's okay that Brady came back. And lastly, just a few weeks ago, you were talking about 19-0 and undefeated. So even if it ends ugly, they've been terrible to leave any of that on the table and even not play this year.
Okay, so the last one I didn't quite get.
I didn't catch it either. It was a little mumbled.
So I don't blame him for coming back. Like, I don't think you haven't heard me say today or at all that he's one of these guys that hung on too long. I don't think we're looking at that. We're not looking at Willie Mays or one of these guys that just, you know, couldn't let it go and played too long. We've had a lot of those, right? Like, why is he still playing? Why did Jordan play for the
Wizards?
The Washington, remember
I know,
that?
Brutal. Like, yeah, brutal.
So that, no, Brady's, in terms of his ability and whatnot, had every right to come back, should have come back, and is justified to come back. As, you know, as bad as the numbers are, I still don't look at him and say that he's played too long at all. I think it's appropriate. I think he's still age appropriate.
Yeah, I don't feel. I never.
In fact, I think he should keep playing. I think it's sort of run out here. I think it's not really working here like it once did. And I'd love to see him go play somewhere else. I think he has enough football to go play somewhere else. I'd love to see it.
So I want to offer up a hypothetical to you here.
Yep.
Let's say Brady had gotten his contract over the summer, that he had gotten an extension and he was signed through 2020 or even 2021.
Okay.
But he was still playing the same way.
Yeah.
What would the narrative be?
I'd be critical of it. I wouldn't like it. And it's not just how he's playing, because, again, it looks worse than he's played. It's not his fault, most of it. I just hate him not working out with the team in the offseason. I freaking hate it. And how that bleeds into them not being able to develop young players and how hard it is for them to incorporate new receivers. I think it's all part and parcel. That I don't think he spends enough time with them anymore. And I think that's dysfunctional. I hate it. I used to hate it. At least I'm consistent. I used to hate it when Favre did this all the time. He'd spend the offseason sitting on some lawnmower in frickin' Mississippi drinking beer. I'm like, this is not. And the whole thing there in Green Bay just stagnated. It flatlined because the quarterback wasn't as invested, didn't put in the time, and didn't work as hard. I'm like, I hate it. So I would not have been in favor of that. And it's not just that. Apparently, all these load management days in the regular season, he's not out there practicing. It's too hard for them to incorporate new receivers and get on the same page with these guys. It's not functional. So I would not be in favor of that.
So in terms of the story, the PR part of it, okay? Like, I wonder if not getting the contract extension actually helps him. Like, I was thinking about this. And I say, if he had his deal and he were playing badly, you know what we'd be talking about? Oh, boy, is it time to cut bait. Like, do they have to seriously look at having a different guy, a quarterback, next year? Have we reached that point, or is it about the line? Is it about the back, you know, the backs, the running game, the receivers? Is it about that whole thing? Like, I don't know. Because I think our whole perspective would be different. We wouldn't be talking about Brady walking out the door.
Continue with this conversation in our next segment. I'm also going to have a giveaway for you, something for free. I know you'll like that. So I would not leave your radio first. Murray's going to give you a 90-second update without commercial interruption.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.